At this point, I'm going to share a few scriptures and some thoughts about being thankful. On your outline, it says, no matter what, always be thankful. Does that sound like something that you can do? Does that seem like a little crazy? Do you know what I mean? You're kind of like, all no matter what? Like, why would somebody be thankful no matter what? So let's pray for a moment. Father God, thank you. Thank you for Betsy's wonderful story and how you revealed yourself to her. Thank you for your word, which teaches us and instructs us. I pray, Father, my message would inspire faith and everyone who's listening, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to start with a question. How many of you would like to have less stress, less depression, better sleep, and a stronger immune system? All right, that's things like everybody in America wants, right? Well, you can. And this is number one on your outline. Simply develop an attitude of gratitude. Everybody's heard that, but it's true. The Wall Street Journal provided me with some fresh material. They did a study on 60 heart patients. And the patients, one group of patients kept a journal every day for 2 months where they wrote down every day something they were thankful for. It could just be one or two things. It could be a couple paragraphs. And they had another group of people who did not keep a journal of gratitude. What they found was everyone who kept a journal was less depressed, slept better, had lower levels of inflammation than those who received the usual care but didn't keep a journal. What this shows to me is that modern scientists are simply figuring out and confirming what God said thousands of years ago, that it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. People who learn to be thankful for what they have, not focused on what they don't have, are healthier and stronger. The next point is gratefulness is a realization of what we have received from others. A realization of what we've received from others. And then going on, Dr. Robert Emmons, who studies gratefulness and how it affects people, said that thanksgiving is an action. You must act on it. Gratitude is an action. It's not enough to think nice things, say, towards someone else. You need to express your gratitude. You need to express your gratefulness. Think about this. Think of someone you know who is a thankful person. What's the opposite of being thankful? Unthankful, ungrateful, complaining. Think of someone you know complains all the time. Which person do you like being around? Right? Okay, so it's like we like being around people who are thankful and grateful. That should inspire us. It's possible to change. One of the great things about the Christian faith is Jesus says, I can change you. That's good news. There's an old song that's sung in churches. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Okay? Praise God what? All blessings flow from God. So if God created everything in the world, everything in the universe, the sun shining in the morning is a blessing from God. That the earth produces food is a blessing from God. And so that's why we thank him. That's why we praise him. When children recognize how much their parents, or especially their mothers, do for them and express thankfulness, it's wonderful. I remember my son David talking to Ingrid once saying, after Betsy had had a baby, gee, Mom, I never realized how hard you worked. Thank you. That feels good for the mom, right? We were encouraged by Luke this morning, honoring his mom, saying, I'm thankful for my mom. She helps me get through life. That's great. God wants us to develop a habit of giving thanks. How often? All the time. Your next point, number four, giving thanks honors God. There's a passage on your sheet there, 1 Thessalonians 5. It's the second scripture. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If you ever wonder, how does God want me to live? One way that God wants you to live is to rejoice and to give thanks in every circumstance. Now, that's a tall order. The New Living Translation says, no matter what happens, always be thankful. So that's the title for the message today, and that's kind of a challenge for us. The next scripture on your sheet says this, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me or honors me. That's good. The Apostle Paul suffered through a lot of things in life, all right? So one example is in Acts chapter 16, where he and another man, Silas, were preaching the gospel, okay? So imagine every year we do a cookout or give away food, we give away back-to-school supplies at the park on Faneuil Street, across from Faneuil Gardens. Imagine if this summer we did that and a mob showed up, grabbed Ed Hodge and me, had the handles from brooms, just started beating us, bloodied, bruised, threw us into a truck and took us to the police station, threw us in jail. That's what happened to Paul and Silas. And they were locked with their feet, with wooden stocks clamped around them. And it says, about midnight, they started doing something. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. I'm sure they were confused and what's with these guys? Suddenly, there came a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. Everyone's chains were unfastened and fell off. They were freed. Why? Because no matter what had happened to them, they determined to be thankful and to praise God. Isn't that amazing? So here's the thing. What is binding you today? What's holding you down? What discourages you? What are you complaining about? What would happen if you obeyed God and started giving thanks in the midst of the circumstances? Because there's always something to be thankful for, and there's always things that are wrong that we can complain about. That never changes. And so it's up to us to determine and choose thanksgiving. Paul in Romans 1:21, talking about people who don't follow God, and he says that it's on your sheet here, for even though they knew God, meaning through creation and what he's made, they did not honor him as God or what? Give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations. Their hearts were darkened. Not giving thanks dishonors God, if we look at it the negative way. So we want to be a people who learn to give thanks. Aren't you glad Paul practiced what he preached? Yeah. So giving thanks can bring deliverance. Another thing giving thanks can do is it can bring peace. So the next point is giving thanks brings both peace and deliverance. Philippians 4:6, it's the next scripture on your outline, says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Then what happens? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many of you have experienced that? You know, I'm honoring Luke here. I love it when a young person gets up and says, you know, I prayed and I experienced God's peace. Praise God. That's what he wants. He wants it to be real for us. There's power in living this way, and the Holy Spirit wants to empower you. When God gives us a command, he wants to give us the grace and power to do it. There's a book that we like in my family. It's called How to Live Like a King's Kid. If that sounds a little corny, and it is a little corny, it's written by an engineer in the 1970s who was an alcoholic. He became a Christian, and he called the Bible the manufacturer's handbook. He called children of God King's Kids. And he has story after story in the book where he just said, a king's kid job is just to read the manufacturer's handbook, do what it says, and report on the results. And so every time something went wrong, he just said, well, God says, rejoice always. In every situation, give thanks. So he was driving one day, his Mercedes-Benz broke down. He's with a couple friends. He goes, well, guys, we may miss the meeting, but you know, this is God's opportunity to do a miracle for us, so let's start praising him. So they start praising the Lord, and they're praising the Lord, and people are honking because they're blocking traffic, and he can only get the car into, like, first gear, and they move along. They finally get it off the road near a service station, and the guy comes out, and he goes, what's wrong? He goes, yeah, there's something, you know, that it only goes into first gear. He goes, but we're just praising the Lord anyways, and the guy looks at him like he's kind of weird. And it just goes on, and eventually the service manager for the Mercedes-Benz dealer down the street who had gone home, they call him, he comes, he manages to fix the car, refuses to take any money, and they get to their Christian meeting on time. And he goes, we had a fresh word of testimony for the meeting. And that's story after story like that. So maybe the hills are just kind of corny. We all like this book. My son Jonathan called me on the phone about 5 years ago. They had moved into a new apartment in Texas, Austin, Texas, and the apartment above them had a fire. So the sprinkler system in the apartment came on, put out the fire, but all the water dripped through the ceiling, down on their floor, ruined the ceiling, ruined the floor. They needed a new apartment in the building, and the management kept dragging its feet and wasn't acting on it for them. So he said, please pray, I'm getting frustrated. I said, well, John, are you giving thanks in every situation, like 1 Thessalonians 5 and living like a king's kid says? He goes, actually, I am, Dad. I said, great. Well, I'm going to agree with you in prayer for this. Well, a couple days later, he sent me this email. Hi, Dad. Everyone else is having a ton of trouble with the apartment complex, describing the person I dealt with as, quote, unquote, an attack dog. But, in capital letters, she was really pleasant to me, and we're moving into a new apartment on Thursday. No one else has gotten that kind of offer. It's great to be a king's kid. Thanks for the encouragement and prayers. Love, Jonathan. It's great to be a child of God. It's great to learn to live his way. So let's purpose to do that. What keeps us from giving thanks? Hard situations, right? I mean, if something goes wrong, it's natural to complain and be down about it. That's a natural thing. Another thing that keeps us from giving thanks is our pride. If you look at number 6, I read this quote again recently. It's by H.W. Beecher. A proud man is seldom grateful, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. That's very penetrating, isn't it? He never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. We live in a society that teaches us that we all deserve to get whatever we want whenever we want it, and that we have a right to that. That's a foolish way to live. How many of you have found that just going through life, you get to have everything the way you want it when you want it? Yeah, none of us gets that. But why are we teaching school kids, and there's this whole mindset in America today that we're to have that? It's not realistic. I read a very compelling article a couple years ago by a psychologist. He was researching the psychology and mindset of these mass shooters who go and, like, you know, just shoot a bunch of people and kill themselves. And he argued that in his research, you know, studying these people's lives, what they wrote, it wasn't so much that they were watching violent movies or playing violent video games, but they had an attitude of entitlement, that they deserved what they wanted in life and they weren't getting it. So therefore, they took revenge on people, on the world, so to speak, on the people they thought who were getting a good deal and they were getting a raw deal. Wow, that's pretty shocking, isn't it? So, what are we going to do? We're not going to live that way, right? We're not going to have an entitled attitude. We're going to learn to be grateful for everything that God gives us. Look at Psalm 69. It's the next to the last scripture on your sheet. This is the psalmist writing. He says, I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox. What does that mean? He's talking about, in the Bible, there was about five different kinds of sacrifices that were required under the law of Moses. And several of them were a guilt offering, a sin offering, a burnt offering, and you might have to sacrifice an ox or a goat or a lamb. Well, that represented money, right? An ox is worth a lot of money. So it was a very costly thing to pay for your sins and to offer these sacrifices to God. Yet here's the psalmist saying, God wants something more than an ox. Why? He wants thanksgiving because it's from the heart. And that's the next fill-in. The best sacrifice to God is thanks because it's from your heart, and God is after our hearts. Does that make sense? Psalm 50 says, sacrifice thank offerings to God and fulfill your vows. For one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice glorifies me. There is one sacrifice that was voluntary. It was called a fellowship offering. And there were three kinds. One was an offering for thanksgiving, to give thanks to God. The second was an offering to fulfill a vow. You made a vow, and now you're doing this offering. And then the third one was called a free will offering, where you could just express love and worship to God through it. And these three voluntary offerings, there was a communal meal. It's in Leviticus 7 if you want to read about it. And so it has this sense that instead of the whole offering being burnt and offered to God, you ate the food with the priests, with other people, with a sense of community, fellowship. That's kind of cool. That's sort of a precursor to a fellowship meal taking communion. So God is after relationship. He's after our heart. You can please God by thanking him. You can please God by offering praise to him no matter what's going on. How many of you have tried that and found that it helps? Okay, some of you have. I urge you to give it a shot. Step out. Do it. Now let's close. I want to look at a story about what God is like that Jesus told in Luke chapter 15. What is God like? If you feel like God is hard, God doesn't really care for you, are you going to thank him? No, you're going to feel like, you know, it's like, who cares about God? He doesn't like me. I find that most people have trouble believing that God likes them. In the time of Jesus, there was a group of people called the Pharisees who were the most serious keepers of the law, and they believed that you should have nothing to do with what they considered bad or unclean people. So Jesus told this story to teach them the truth. It's a story about a father with two sons. A man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, I want my share of the estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide the wealth between his sons. A few days later, the younger son packed up his belongings, moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and He persuaded a local farmer to hire him. The man sent him into the field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare. Here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me as a hired servant.'" So he returned to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, kissed him. His son said, "Father, I've sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet. Kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For the son of mine was dead and has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." So the party began. Wow. That's quite a story. So what does that tell us about God? Well, one, God is a father. Two, God bears with people who screw up big time. He's compassionate. He's forgiving. It says the young man, who represents any person who's gone astray, came to his senses. What happened to him when he came to his senses? He repented. He realized he had done wrong. That's the next fill-in. Number eight, the young man in the story recognized his wrong. He said, "I've sinned." That's a very powerful realization. And it's an essential one to being reconciled to God. So when he comes back, we don't know what he's thinking. He's insulted his father. He said, "Dad, I wish you were dead. I just want your money." His father's been disgraced. In that culture, a son like that would generally just be kicked out of the family. So he's kind of hoping he can at least be a servant. And instead, his father runs to him, hugs him, kisses him, puts a robe on him, says, "We're going to throw a party. The son of mine was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found." So the last two points, your heavenly father is thankful when you humbly return to him. Knowing you are forgiven and welcome into God's family brings the greatest thanksgiving. There's just nothing better than knowing God is not holding what I've done wrong against me. That's why Jesus came. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Ed, if you can give us a closing song, please. Let's take a minute and to think and pray on what we've heard this morning. Has God showed you where you can improve on giving thanks? So pray about that. Purpose to act on it. Have you come to your senses in your relationship with God? Have you recognized, "Yeah, I've sinned. But actually, God wants to welcome me back." So you should respond to him. You can go to him. You can be like this son and say, "Father, I've sinned." And you might even feel like, "Yeah, I'm not worth much." And God says, "No, no, no. You can be part of my family." Hallelujah. So let's pray on that. Father God, we thank you for what we've heard this morning. If you're feeling far from God, then you can just kind of pray something like this. Just agree with me as I'm praying. Father God, I recognize that I've done wrong and I've sinned. and I need your forgiveness. I want to change. I want to be your child. So I thank you for sending Jesus to take away my sin, to give me a new life, to make me a new person. So I commit myself to you. I put my trust in you and in your Son today. Hallelujah. Let me know your forgiveness. Give me the power to change and walk in your ways and not my own ways. Can we all say amen to that? And Father, we want to be those who praise you no matter what's happening. So stir us by your Spirit to recall the things that are true about you when things go wrong, so we can be ever praising you and give thanks no matter what happens. To the glory of Jesus, amen.